All right, everyone, I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. I am going to open a public hearing on SCR 205. Representative Greenlick, come on down.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlick, House District 33, your next door neighbor in House Districts, and I'm very, very happy to be here today. I'm honored to be here to talk about Joe Robertson. This resolution honors Joe, and had a very exciting testimony on the floor of the Senate. Seems everybody in the Senate has had some good luck with OHSU. And wanted to talk about it. I'm here to talk about my experience with Joe Robertson as a friend and as a colleague at Oregon Health Sciences University. I served 10 years as chair of public health and preventive medicine, overlapping Joe's the middle part of Joe's career from 1990 to 2000. Joe has been at the university in one form or another more than 40 years. He claimed he came to be a resident in ophthalmology, became chair of ophthalmology, headed the KCI Institute, which I suspect some of you, as I have had one procedure or another in the KCI Institute, became dean of medicine and eventually president of Oregon Health Sciences University. He's been a visionary president. He's had a major impact on the state, spreading OHSU resources all around the state. He's been very much involved in health policy. He was an original board member of the Oregon Health Policy Board and served in that role, I think about 8 years. He's been pretty amazing. The president of a complex university like Oregon Health Sciences is not an easy job. Everybody wants something from you, and you don't necessarily have the resources to make that something available. But I found him as my dean, just a delightful person to work with. One of the crowning achievements in my mind, some of you may have known over time, I continue to push for an ultimate merger of Oregon Health Sciences University and Portland State University. I believe that's the only way we're going to have a great research university in the metropolitan area, and I think it'll affect the state in some very positive ways. Joe has always been tolerant of my idiosyncrasies about this, and always smiled benignly, as did Vim Vival at Portland State all the time. They both were very tolerant. I'll be back next session with another bill again. This is my last effort to move that along in a way that I think it's inevitable. But what's really important is I've been able to work with Joe to help begin to get programs jointly between PSU and OHSU, a joint collaborative life sciences building that serves both universities, a wonderful Oregon Health Sciences, Portland State University School of Public Health, that defies the notion that you can't deal with two different cultures. It's always been a problem of what will be the symbol for the football team, which I always thought would be a Trojan and a white jacket. It wouldn't be a problem, but Joe's more and more moved toward integration between the programs of Portland State and Oregon Health Sciences University. He's just a wonderful guy, and I hope you'll move this resolution forward.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Rayfield.
I was just curious if you wouldn't be opposed to, say, like a beaver in a white jacket. To have a beaver in a white jacket?
Well,
beat jacket.
I know the colonial threat from both Eugene and Corvallis to my dreams of a major research university in Portland State. So no, I think a Trojan and a white jacket could beat up the beaver with no trouble whatsoever.
Okay.
And
okay.
Certainly the duck.
I appreciate the order of ranking.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, Representative Greenleck. I will close the public hearing on SCR 205. I will open a work session on SCR 205.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 205 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield moves SCR 205 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Not. Carrier is Representative Greenlick.
Oh, we share.
What, me? Okay. And it is in my district. Thank you. That's very kind of you. All right, I will close the work session. On that, I will open a public hearing on SCR 201.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 201 recognizes Dr. Erlinda Gonzalez-Berry, Dr. Guadalupe Guadalajara, Liliana Luna, and Anita Yap as recipients of the Oregon Commission for Women's 2017 Women of Achievement Award. This bill has neither a fiscal nor a revenue impact.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Welcome. Good afternoon, Chair Williamson, Chair McLean, and Chair Rayfield, and members of the House Committee on Rules. For the record, my name is LaWanda Manning, and I am here supporting 201 in my capacity as a commissioner for Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. I also work in the office of Senator James Manning Jr. for the People of Senate District 7, which includes Eugene and Junction City. SCR 201 is vital because it recognizes women of achievement for outstanding leadership and service to the people of Oregon. Since it was first awarded to Vera Katz in 1985, the Oregon Commission for Women has recognized 92 outstanding women who, through their vocation and avocation, have improved significantly through the lives of women in Oregon. The 2017 Women of Achievement Awards recipients are Dr. Erlinda Gonzalez-Berry, Dr. Guadalupe Guajardo, Lillian Luna, and Anita Zapna. Please forgive me if I mispronounced their names. SCR 201 passed the Senate Committee on Rules unanimously. The Oregon Senate has done its part in recognizing the achievement of these outstanding women, and now I'm asking the Oregon House to pass 201. Thank you for making time to hear me and for making a difference in our great state.
Excellent. Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. I will close the public hearing on SCR 201, sorry. I will open a work session on SCR 201.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 201 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 201 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Right, not. Motion passes. Representative Malmstrom will be the carrier of that. I will close the work session on that. I will open a public hearing on SB 1567.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, SB 1567 requires major political parties to hold a primary election to nominate a candidate to fill the remaining term of a statewide office or the office of a state senator when the vacancy occurs before the 70th day before the primary election that precedes the first general election occurring during the vacant term of office, requires the major political party to select a nominee by party rule when the vacancy occurs after the 70th day before the primary election, but before the 61st day before the primary general, before the general election, declares an emergency and is effective on passage. This bill has an indeterminate fiscal and no revenue impact.
We don't have anyone signed up to testify, so if there's anyone who wants to testify, I do feel like we should have Representative McLean do a calendar, because it's the only way I ever understand this bill.
I was just going to ask
when you
that.
Put the calendar together.
What, so what does it do?
There's no advocacy.
I believe Senator Winters and President Courtney in the Senate would like this bill. Therefore, based upon that policy distinction, I would suggest we move.
What does it do?
Bottom line is the House Republicans went through four appointment processes. You went through one. What this would do, my understanding is, jettison more replacement for four-year term office holders, Senate, governor, et cetera, judge on a court. Elective partisan offices would jettison then instead of the PCP votes, they would go to primary elections. So we would be replacing the effect of this bill. My understanding is we would have less PCP selections in more actual primary elections when it's a ways out. When it gets closer to the actual term limit, then it would rely on the PCP process and commissioner selection, because that would is a faster process. But I think the I'm speculating, but I've not been hesitant, as you know, Representative Rose knows, to speculate sometimes. But I speculate that the intent of the bill sponsors is to have more voters select replacements and less reliance on PCPs.
Madam Chair. So this is for basically office holders that normally would hold for 4 years. And kind of, if I understood the speculation of the minority leader correctly, if a vacancy occurs in the middle of the term, we're going to have a primary election.
Yes, even I think it's within, if it's greater than 70 days out, then it's so it would be most of the term. It would default to a primary election as a way to select the candidates for this, for a replacement, as opposed to a now. I think that's the case.
Okay.
But I could be off. Am I off? I could be off.
I don't know, but
follow up, Madam Chair.
Adam says you're not off.
Look at there.
I'm out.
Adam, I forgot.
Well, maybe I'll ask Adam.
Adam
thought he was
follow,
there.
May I have a quick follow up,
and then I'll immediately say, "Hey, Aaron, what's going on with this bill?"
Why does it go with Adam? State representatives?
Just all right, no,
we're
Senator Beretta.
Too quick.
So, if there is a vacancy for a Democrat senator, and it's in the middle of the term, 70 days before a regular primary election might occur, there would have to be a primary for that party's person. The Republicans wouldn't have a primary because the seat is currently held by a Democrat. They would stand down, so to speak. Their opportunity to replace that person would come in the regular cycle, as opposed to my party would have the opportunity to pick a person in a primary election rather than the PCP process. Or vice versa. It could be the other way around.
County ends up selecting.
Adam, and I also believe that it, but the replacement would go to a special election at the next general election.
General. So if you're three years out in the replacement and you go through this process, you're on the ballot the next time there's a general election. So you don't get to serve the three years. You go into that next election cycle.
Follow-up question then.
That's just like now.
Yeah, so
follow up. So then actually both parties might potentially have a primary, because it's going to be, in theory, an open seat for the remainder of the term, as opposed to what I just said.
My understanding, if it's long enough out.
That's right.
If it's not long enough out, then it would just be replacement. But the net effect, Adam, is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm speculating, but my understanding is that the goal of this is to say, hey, when we got plenty of time, let's have the people decide rather than PCPs.
Madam Chair, Representative McLean, that is correct.
Okay.
My understanding is that this is a desire to introduce more primary elections and elections by the voters rather than selections by PCPs.
And with Commissioner.
With Commissioner.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what Representative Noe said, though, was that that it would be opened up to an election for both Republican and, so I'll be a no on this.
Came 5-0 out of rules.
I think I could give a story that might exemplify what we're talking about.
Representative Kenemer was asking what the vote was in the Senate, and as I see it, it was unanimous with six excused. Oh, no, sorry. Yes. There's six noes, 18 yeses, six excused.
Six excused.
That's weird.
And six
noes. Smith Warner. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to try to storytell this a little bit, the way I understand it.
I was going to do the same thing.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I want to reference the last time that I can remember something like this happening in Oregon, which is when Senator Packwood resigned, the way that there was a special election held for the remainder of his term to the next general. And the Democratic Party had a primary and the Republican Party had a primary. It wasn't
for the general.
For the primary. They had primary. They had so. And I'm not sure if it's the difference between a U.S. Senate and the way we do the ledge races, that I would want some clarification on. But I'm just trying to give an example of where this is used now. So when Packwood resigned, there was a primary election for voters voting for the Democratic candidate and for the Republican candidate. A candidate won each of those special primaries, and then those two candidates ran for the rest of his term to the next general election. Then the person who won had to run to fill out his term. So that's how that worked. And my understanding is that this is moving four-year terms, state Senate terms, and statewide races, not state representatives, but four-year terms, that this is moving that to that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I was curious if any of the speculators could, or perhaps the committee administrator could tell me then, what is the potential for there being a vacancy in the seat from the time that this this primary is declared until the general election? That seems like it could be a pretty long time that you're actually not, you're going to have a vacant seat sitting around.
Could be.
No, because as I understand it, the primary would choose the replacement of the same party, because that's the way we do it now. So you don't come back up in a general election for the replacement.
So both parties, excuse me, Madam Speaker.
Yeah. So when you hit your next general election, regardless of how long the term would have been for the previous senator, say, then you have a regular old election with both parties. But if this allows her a process by which you can have a primary to fill the vacancy.
But so the primary, the winner of the primary for the incumbent position is a replacement at that primary time.
We should probably verify. Is that true?
Madam Chair, Representative McLean, I think this is an excellent time to get LC down here and to have a conversation.
Okay, because what I hear Representative Colby saying is, we could end up like with Senator Packwood's seat, you know, a 4-month period of time, probably. I think it's a 90-day plus whatever. So let's say a 4 or 5 month of a vacant seat, as opposed to the primary winner of the parties who lost the senator, then that would be the replacement, only to just simply hold and immediately run for the general slash at a November timeframe for a replacement for the remainder of the term. I suppose that's a good question.
So committee, if here's what I think we should do.
Then there's the 70 days before, so that whole time frame is mm-hmm. more than 70 days before, right. Then that whole time frame is vacant as well.
Here's my proposal. How about we roll this over to Thursday? Let's get us a calendar and let's get us a lawyer down here.
Maybe a couple lawyers. A couple more lawyers.
We need
I still have lots of questions. I have the same.
So maybe we can get some clarifying documents in front of the committee. We're not going to solve the problem in 7 minutes. And so so why don't we do that? And I'll just hold it open.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to speculate for the record.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Kenemer. I'm glad you did that. All right, is that okay with the committee? All right, so with that, I will close the public hearing on 1567. We will roll it over to Thursday. We'll reopen the hearing. We'll see what kind of clarification we can get between now and then. And I would like a calendar.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we can do that.
Excellent, thank you. With that, we're adjourned.